T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, winner of 3 Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence.
In your face, Milwaukee!
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That's Chuck Freeman.
Part with a guarantee today.
I'm Bart Winkler. Yeah, I'm going to guarantee the Brewers win today. And if they don't, we'll have a be nice to Chuck Freeman day, okay? Chuck guaranteed it yesterday, and he said that if they lost, we'd have a be nice to Bart day. That didn't happen. So I'll, you know, copy you and make a guarantee.
Shocking, okay.
I don't know why you're so offended.
I just think it's a little flippant of you to do that, but...
This is a radio show for entertainment. It's okay. All in fun.
That's fine.
Gary D'Amato joins us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He is covering the U.S. Open. It was all hands on deck for our station this time last year, but now, Gary, we are depending solely on you when it comes to our golf coverage. How you doing?
That's a lot of pressure. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Hey, Gary. Shinnecock... has it this year. But before we get into that, I mean, and I'm sure you've been asked this before, is Aaron Hills ever going to get another major on that? And I got a part B of that question. Is there never another tournament ever going to be coming there?
I would say yes. I mean, I haven't heard anything positive to that effect, but I think the USGA is going to come back at some point. I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, I think it was a success on every level, except some people complain that it was – the scoring was too low. But I think you have to understand that the conditions were just right for scoring that week. You know, rain, the course was soft all week, the wind didn't blow. So I have no problem with the scoring. And, I think they'll come back at some point.
And now, Gary, with Whistling Straits at Kohler, we've been accustomed for the PGA to come there every 5 years. The last were there in 2015. That contract has run out. And, of course, Ryder Cup in 2020. And with the PGA Championship now moving to May, does that mean – no more majors at Whistling Straits?
You know, I don't know about no more majors, but I think in the case of the PGA, I think it would be difficult for them to come back in May. The players could handle the May weather of, you know, cold and maybe rainy and, you know, that seasonal on-the-lake weather that we get in May. But the problem is that they would have only had a few weeks to get the course ready in championship condition, and that's not enough time, really. So the PGA is going to be a tough one, but, you know, the PGA of America, you know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they, depending on how the Ryder Cup goes in 2020, if they want to maybe bring it back there.
Gary D'Amato joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. With Aaron Hills, the scores were a little better, as you mentioned, the weather conditions, not what maybe we thought they'd be. And, you know, that kind of course benefiting those guys that can hit it far, long drivers, stuff like that. I think you have a similar case here at Shinnecock Hills. How similar... Gary, how different are the two courses? Because we got to know Aaron Hills very good, very well with the U.S. Open. What's this course like this time around?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, there's some similarities in the way, in the topography, the way the courses kind of look and feel. But the big difference is Shinnecock Hills is a course that was built in 1891. It's, you know, well over 100 years old. And when the greens were built back then, they were designed for green speeds of, you know, 4 to 5 to 6 feet. Now green speeds are 11 feet, so there's so much contour in these greens, and they're so fast. And we saw that, you know, 14 years ago that the greens got away from the USGA here. So the green complexes are much different, much tougher here than Aaron Hills. And then the wind, you know, which should have blown at Aaron Hills, it didn't, but the wind always blows here out on Long Island. So I would say those would be the big differences.
Okay. Obviously, you know, Dustin Johnson's the number one player in the world. But, you know, for me, you know, the Tiger question is always there. Woods has been playing some better golf as of late. He made a run a couple of weeks ago at the Memorial. On Saturday, he made a nice little run. How do you feel about his game and what he can do at Shinnecock?
Yeah, my column today was about Tiger. You know, he's teased us a little bit this year. First of all, his comeback from a fourth back surgery infusion, I think, is just amazing. It's an amazing story that he's able to even swing a driver again, let alone at 125 miles per hour. So you have to temper expectations a little bit. I mean, he's only played in 33 events in the last 5 years. That's not a lot of tournament golf. But having said that, he has played well at times. He just hasn't played, you know, good enough to win, or his stretches of, he's had some stretches of great, great play, but they just haven't been long enough. So for Tiger, I think he needs to put it all together, which he hasn't done yet, and especially with the putter. When he's hit the ball well, his putter has gone cold. So one of these days, I think he'll put it all together, and I think he's going to win again.
Is this open Dustin Johnson's to lose?
You know, it's hard to say that. There's so many great players, but certainly if you go on two things, current form and how a guy has played U.S. Opens recently, certainly he has to be the favorite. I mean, coming off a victory last week and, you know, having won a U.S. Open a couple years ago and almost won a couple more, you have to definitely like his chances. But, you know, Dustin has to do everything great, too, to win, because there's going to be guys who are playing who are at the top of the games, guys like Jason Day and Rory McIlroy, and even Phil Mickelson, you know, I think has a good chance here.
Okay, you like Phil's shot? Phil just turned 48. You like Phil's shot?
I do. You know, first of all, the New York crowds love the guy. He always plays well in New York. He's played well. You know, four of his six runner-up finishes in the U.S. Open have come in New York, mm-hmm. including one here. So I do like his chances. He loves, you know, he loves the challenge. He's still long enough. He still has a great short game. So I don't see why he couldn't contend.
Gary, who else should I fill out my DraftKings roster with? I mean, who are some of the sleepers for this weekend? That's what I meant to ask.
Yeah, you know, I don't think a sleeper is going to win this week. I think it's going to be someone who hits the ball a long way. I think you look at the driving distance stats, and you look at the official world golf ranking, and you look at guys who have won this year and are playing well, and it's going to come from that group. So I think realistically there's maybe 20 guys who have a chance to win. And there, in my opinion, it's all the usual suspects: McIlroy, you know, Spieth, Ricky Fowler, guys like that, who have been up there in majors, guys who have won majors, hit it a long way, and are playing well. I don't think we're going to see a surprise winner this week.
Okay, because we were doing this the other day, we rattled off some of the favorites and then the fields. You don't think maybe some anonymous guy is going to win it?
I don't think so. I mean, you're going to see anonymous guys, so to speak, on the leaderboard, especially mm-hmm. the first couple of days. But I think they're going to definitely fall back on the weekend. And, you know, the old cliche of the cream rising to the top, I think that's going to happen here. I think it's going to be a name that everyone knows and everyone's familiar with.
So who's your pick?
You know, I have to like Dustin. Just you can't pick against a guy who's coming off a victory and, you know, regained number one world ranking and has played U.S. Opens well. So I'd have to... If I had to pick one guy, I'd have to go with him.
All right, man.
All right, so Dustin, Mickelson. I'm just filling out my lineup here.
For Mickelson would be a long shot, I would say.
He's 33-1. I got the odds up here. DJ's 8-1. So still, though, Mickelson's in that top 20, like Gary was saying. Gary, have fun out there. Appreciate it. Thanks. And thank you for doing all the dirty work for us.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
See you, Gary.
Gary D'Amato joining us again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
You know, the Freeman Golf Tour is going on here in 2018. And,
yeah, I've seen the pictures. Yeah. You guys are getting after it.
Absolutely. Now, what I want to ask you is, would you want to play a tough course, knowing that you're not going to score very well, but you're playing a tough course? Let's say Whistling Straits or Erin Hills. If someone say, Bart, you can walk on and play here anytime you want, knowing, though, that you're going to have a rough go at it. Or would you rather play, you know, just a normal course of, you know.
Well, my scores aren't great to begin with, but what I can tell you is I like mini golf a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I like mini golf is I like the obstacles. So if you're going to give me a course that's wide open and, okay, the fescue's the toughest thing,
mm-hmm.
I like the woodsy courses. I like
Do
when,
you?
When they're you can't see the pin usually when you're teeing off.
So you like the hairpin turns.
I like more of it.
Dog legs.
I like more of the obstacles. The closer you can get real golf mm-hmm. to mini golf, the more fun I have.
God, I hate dog legs, man. When you can't see the hole, because you don't, you know, especially if you play it for a first time. When you play it first time, because you're like, okay, can I cut the corner? And how what do I have? How far is it to the dog leg? And if you overshoot it, are you going to be in some trouble? But you're good with that.
I would love a course that's all par fours also. Because par fours, I can drive about 220, and then I can, you know, get to my sevens, eight, and nines, and then I can putt. And those are the clubs that I'm good with. Now, if I'm on a par five, I drive, and then I have no club that I can use well after that.
See, par
fives. I suck
with
the hybrids. I suck with the threes and fours. And then if it's a par three, I don't know. I suck with the fives and sixes on those, so... I like a par four. A par four, a woodsy par four.
Well, like a par five, I mean, the pros and the really good golfers will say, God, they love a par five because they feel they can get there and birdie on that hole.
Ooh, not Bart.
Me too, on par fives, I'm just looking to break even there.
Oh, yeah.
If I can get a five on a par five, because I'm hitting in maybe 260, and then if it's a 500-yard hole, I'm hitting up to that 100-yard marker. And then from 100 out, looking to get on a green, and then two putt, and then I got my five.
Chuck, I really, when I golf, I can fill up my scorecard before I golf, because I know what I'll get on every hole.
You do.
If it's a par three,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a five or a six.
On a par three?
If it's a par four,
yeah.
I'm going to get a four or a five. And if it's a par five, I'm going to get an eight or a nine.
Okay. Why do you struggle on par threes?
I don't know. I can't get a good first shot. I always like...
Yeah.
I can never get it on the green.
But at least you should be chipping on a par three, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I really struggle on par threes.
Yeah.
I really do. I got to get out. I've only really been out once this year.
I don't like long par threes, like 190, 200.
No, yeah. You may as well just...
It might as well get a par four.
Hit from the closest tees. I don't want to call them ladies' tees here in 2018.
Oh, no, that's what they are. The red tees, the front tees.
Hit from the reds.
Yeah.
There you go. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up at Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Also coming up is the World Cup this weekend. We have not talked about that a lot, probably to the benefit of a lot of you. But I know the World Cup is a big time where you like to get together with people. You like to get together with friends. And at the Serb Hall now, they are showing select games for the World Cup. You know the Serb Hall. It's been there forever, located 51st on Oklahoma. I've been to a couple events there. My dad was awarded into a Soccer Hall of Fame at this place a couple of years ago. They've been serving the community for more than 50 years, and they've got their Governor's Lounge, which is going to be open for some of the Green Bay games later in the fall, but they're also open for the World Cup. Check them out, serbhall.com. The games will be anytime Serbia is playing and anytime Mexico is playing. They're going to have the games, and they're going to be open. They've got TVs. They've got the full bar. They're going to have food available for you with appetizers. They're going to be open 30 minutes prior to the games. So they're open this Father's Day, this Sunday. Serbia plays, and then Mexico plays. Anytime Serbia plays, anytime Mexico plays. Serbia, Mexico, Serbia, Mexico. The USA's not in it this year. So I know some of you have jumped on board our neighbors to the south in Mexico. Some of you guys looked for your lineage, and Serbia could be that team for you. Just a great place to go watch some soccer with other people, and that is at Serb Hall. They've got their Friday fish fries from 11:30 until 9. They've got live music for the next few Fridays from 5 until 8. And again, the free munchies during the select soccer games they're showing. So check it out, 5101 West Oklahoma Avenue. They are showing World Cup games. Check out more, serbhall.com. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. We are served up by Perkins. I mentioned the World Cup before the break. Hey, good for you. Having it in your announcements, or that's not what they're called, updates, that the World Cup will be partially in the United States in 2026.
Well, it was news when I broke the came in this morning.
Did you know that I found out through you?
Well, it just happened like 5 minutes before you walked in.
My phone
went berserk, and I thought, I didn't know, because usually you don't get news breaking this early in the morning.
Yeah, so
but
2018.
CBS, ESPN, they all had the news about the World Cup in 2026.
World Cup actually starts tomorrow in Russia. USA is not in it. So that's why a lot of people are trying to pick another team scrambling quick. And I'll throw out a podcast today where I do just that. And then in 2022, it's in Qatar, Qatar. I don't know what they've agreed on is the pronunciation of that. That could theoretically still get moved. They have to play it in the winter in 4 years because of how hot it is there. It's like 120 right now in that area. So they're not doing it in the summer. And they're, that seems to be a little backdoor money sort of dealing. So in 2026, it was between Morocco or USA, Mexico, and Canada joint bid. And they picked right before we came on this morning to do the joint bid. People are excited about that because the World Cup will be here. I'm on the fence. I just, the whole thing with American soccer, and I'm not going to get into it here. That's what the podcast is for. That's what I'm doing.
But, you know, when I think of Canada, though, I don't think of soccer. I think of hockey.
Yeah, but I think because the USA tried to bid on the 2022 one and they didn't give it to them.
Well, what's your
so USA thought if we bond together with these two other countries, we'll have a better shot at it.
I mean, I can see Mexico and the United States, of course, but what tradition does Canada have in soccer?
Do they have much of a soccer program at all? I don't think they've been in the World Cup for... Yeah. I think they have been in a World Cup, but I think it's been a long time. Oh. Typically, they don't even make the final group to qualify into the World Cup. But again, it starts tomorrow. It's in Russia. Games are, you know, throughout the morning, throughout the day, and the USA is not there. So, yeah, it'll be cool in 8 years, but I don't know. I think that the U.S. soccer, I think it's a lot of people just trying to make money at the top, not caring about the actual game. Again, the Wings Things podcast online. 799-1250. I believe this is a guy who has sent in spoofs of us before on the program. Larry's in the Falls. Larry, what's up, dude?
Hi, Bart. This is Bart, and I've got a question for you and Chuck.
I'm talking to me right now?
Yes, we're talking to each other, Bart. And Chuck, what do you think of that? Well, what the hell, Bart? You talk to yourself all the time anyway. Go ahead, put it on the air. What the hell? Well, okay, thanks, Chuck. Bart, when are you and Chuck going to go to the zoo and do a live broadcast? Well, when are you going to the zoo?
Yeah, Bart, when the hell are we going to the zoo?
Larry, are you okay?
Yeah, Larry, boy.
Hey, I was a public school teacher for 31 years. You think that doesn't do something to you?
Larry,
Depending on what district you're in.
Hamilton School District in Sussex.
Oh, that's a pretty good school district.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, no. Oh.
What is the key, Larry, to a Chuck Freeman impression?
Well, you got to say hell every other word, okay?
Yeah.
And you got to be smooth, and you got to, you can only have one hand on the mic, and the other hand is kind of like flipping your hair back.
Oh, yeah, so that wavy, beautiful hair Chuck has.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Although and, I got a visor around when I do the show in the mornings usually, but okay.
Now, is it true that you guys are in different studios? Come on, you're not next to each other.
No,
we're in the same room.
We're in the same room.
We're in the same room.
We have a glass.
Are you facing each other?
Yeah, we're facing each other.
I'm looking at him right now. He's got a tailor-made visor on.
I'm kind of like what's kind of like a newsroom.
Yeah,
where I could do the updates and I got all the news in front of me and all that. I'm right in front of him. All we got is glass, but we're looking right at each other.
It actually just used to be one room, but Chuck doesn't shower in the morning, so I requested that we build it.
I don't know. If you guys were next to each other, I think there'd be some stuff going on, you know, slapping each other like you were talking about a little while ago. Then you could get the sweet slaps in on Bart. But I love your stick, you know. I mean, Chuck's cool, and Bart, you know, plays the beta guy. It's fun. It's fun listening to you guys. I love it. It's a lot of fun. If I'm delivering flowers 3 days a week, that's when I get to listen to you guys most of the time.
I think your impression of Chuck is better than yours of me. Is that because he's easier to impersonate or not? Like you're doing an okay one of me. I think harder to impersonate.
Him and Schmitty kind of sound the same.
Yeah.
Well, I would say my Bart is more like Norm MacDonald. I think one of your guys said that too. So Bart, you're kind of like Norm MacDonald, you know. He talks like that, and he goes, "Well, do you think of that?" I mean, it's more like a Norm MacDonald. And Chuck's Milwaukee, man. He's like Are you West Dallas, Chuck? Is that where you went to high school?
Greendale. Don't confuse Greendale. Big difference. West. Yeah, big difference between Greendale. I like West Dallas, but man, it's a big difference between Greendale and West Dallas. But,
hey, I went to Milwaukee Madison.
Big difference between 70s. West Dallas and Milwaukee Madison.
See, the thing is, in Milwaukee Madison, everything is green over there. It's like Greenfield, Greendale. We can't tell any kind of difference whatsoever. And I know you guys get real offended by that, because you've got your turf, and I dig that, and I get it. But you know, I don't get Greenfield and Greendale. It's the Southsiders. You know, that's kind of what we're
We only have like 30 minutes in the show, Larry. Yeah. You just opened up the biggest can of worms.
You want to travel with me? I'll show you where Greendale is, and I'll show you where Greenfield is.
Possible,
easily. I got it figured out.
Teaches at Glenwood Elementary, Chuck. Do you know where that is?
Glenwood Elementary in Greenfield?
Yes.
Now I've heard of it. No.
She's an aide down there. And I think that's the Greenfield School District.
I think. That wouldn't be Greendale, because there's like three elementary schools in Greendale.
Well, there it is, you guys.
Larry, well, good stuff. Blair. Keep up the good work. We'll talk soon.
You guys keep up the good work. Take care. Thank you.
Look at that, Larry.
Who do you think would be on the WSSB staff, the fan staff, who would be the toughest person to impersonate?
I don't know if people can get my voice down. I do have like tells, as the rest of us do.
How about Makloff? Mac the Knife, would they be able to pull that off?
Because some of us are like caricatures of real people.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got I think you're easy to impersonate.
Think so?
Yeah. Well, Billy does a great job.
Yeah.
Larry did a really good one.
He did pretty good,
called in.
Yeah.
You've got more of a distinct sound. I think you can get a Michaels.
Michaels, yeah.
Joe, I think, is easy to impersonate.
Yeah.
Sparky.
Fife.
Gary. Leroy. Everyone's kind of got their, like...
cadence.
Yeah, we all sound a little different. We all have a kind of different cadence. I don't know. I would love to hear a good impersonation of me. I don't know what you can do. Sometimes I can tell you I pause a lot in the middle of my sentences. I do that. I say interesting a lot. I say insane a lot.
Yeah, I don't, you know, Larry, was that guy's name Larry?
Yeah.
Larry? I don't know.
When you're doing an impersonation, you gotta grab onto something. Like with Sean McDonough, he's always monotone and then excited all the time. So you can grab onto that.
Can you do impersonations of anybody? Impersonations are tough to do, because if you don't do it right, it doesn't come off right. Because if somebody's saying, who are you doing impersonation?
If you were to impersonate me, what would you do? Because if I was doing you, I'd do a lot of...
What would I do?
Guarantee is the most serious thing in the world. Why are you doing that?
I would just... One minute, I'd be slamming things down and just calling and swearing and... And the next minute, hey, how you doing?
So your impersonation of me is
just all over,
just a description of bipolar disorder.
Yes. 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 And then you see somebody in the hallway. Oh, you know, you're all Mr. Nice Guy. Then you come in.
I think that's a positive personality trait.
What's that?
I can go from the highest of emotions to the lowest to the middle with the flip of a switch. So if something bothers me, I'll have an outburst.
Yeah, you have
it doesn't bother me for long.
But
it
bothers us other guys, though.
So it bothers you guys more, because then I calm down right away, but you guys are, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah.
I know.
You have a meltdown.
Yeah, but then I get over it right away.
Oh, sometimes.
But what I've realized is that it takes longer for other people to calm down to me, because my emotions are all over the place.
Yeah.
Where you guys are more on a steady keel. I'm like you guys are like an EKG machine when somebody's flatlining. It's pretty flat, but I'm like, but I can settle back into the flatline very easy.
But when you're on my over here, when I'm, you know, it's me, then I got to deal with it. It's like, okay. Like the other night when you exploded off the air. Forgot even what it was for. Yeah, like, and you're slabbing things and like...
Because I'm passionate. I care.
Well, yeah.
At all this as positive personality traits.
Yeah.
All of this.
Okay.
All of my negatives, I look at as positive.
Okay.
Is that a problem?
But when it affects us guys, it's a tough one. What we got to deal with.
One thing I won't put on my LinkedIn page, Chuck, is my violent mood swings.
Mm.
That will not be on there. And you want to make sure when you are looking on someone's LinkedIn page for a new employee that you find the right fit, and that's why LinkedIn is a great resource for that. You go to job boards, you know, what do you really find there? When you post your job to a job board, you're basically just throwing it out, and it's a needle in the haystack kind of thing to try to find someone to help and come benefit your business. Because there's people looking for jobs, too, to find their best fit. But you're also trying to find the best fit for your company. So go to a place where 70% of the U.S. workforce is, where people are going with the intent to grow as professionals every day and look for new job opportunities, and that is at LinkedIn.
Yep, 9 of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards, so you can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights of their behavior on LinkedIn and the rich profile data that you can't find on a resume, like the skills, recommendations, their interests, and even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. So your job gets in front of the right people. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business.
Head to LinkedIn.com/ChuckandBart. That is one word. Get a $50 credit when you do so towards your first job posting on LinkedIn. That's LinkedIn.com/ChuckandBart for a $50 credit. LinkedIn.com/ChuckandBart. LinkedIn.com/ChuckandBart.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Beauforting Beer, Milwaukee's new favorite imported beer. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. And by Palermo's King Cheese Pizza, the ruler of great taste. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Kane back up the middle, backhanded Baez, and now Yelich is going to be caught in a rundown. Kane on his way to second. Yelich trying to stay in it as long as he can. And now Yelich is safe. And now Kane is going to be safe at first. What a heads-up play by Lorenzo Kane.
Unbelievable. I mean, you talk about thinking that one through.
That base running play by Kane is flat-out brilliant. It really was. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. He knew exactly what he was doing. I had no idea what he was planning on doing, but it was amazing. It really was. You talk about seeing the court and seeing the floor as a basketball analogy, but that's seeing the field and understanding what's happening is, you know, I tip my cap to that. That was incredible.
That's just a great heads-up baseball play. You know, it's one of those freak plays you really don't see that very often, or, you know, it comes up just a few times a season probably. For him to think about that, and I kind of had a feeling something was up when I saw him stand like a step off the bag. I was like, you know, what are you doing? And then he started obviously yelling and pointing, so great play on his part and definitely helped us get that win today.
I actually want to credit that play to Rusty Kuntz. We've actually used to practice that play when I was in KC. Never actually happened. For it to happen tonight was, you know, huge. So, you know, I mean, it was nice. Nice play.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Craig Counsell, Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Kane, who batted after Yelich in the lineup last night with Thames leading off, which allowed that to happen. And we talked a little bit today, Frames, about the most disappointing Brewer, Domingo Santana, Manny Pena, Orlando Arcia, specifically offensively. Where is this team without Yelich and Kane?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if they could just get some help, too. Smart base running there, especially by Kane. He saw that there was a window of opportunity to get back to first base because Rizzo ran home to cover home, which is the right thing to do. But, you know, he didn't. I mean, just, it was a terrific move, and it was botched up. It was kind of a freak play, but the Brewers were able to take advantage of it with smart play. But, yeah, those two guys at the top of the order, and Thames let off last night, so they dropped Kane down to three. Yeah, as long as you got those two in the top two or three in the order, you're good to go.
Maybe you didn't miss or you didn't hear the interview with Craig Kishon earlier today, and maybe you're just tuning us in and thinking, oh, local sports, I like this. We do a show for 4 hours a day, and if you miss us live, you can listen to us on demand with our free podcast at radio.com. You just search for Chuck and Winkler. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can go to 1057fmthefan.com. So if you missed any of this, you can listen to it anytime you want, the Craig Kishon interview being one of them. And I liked what he said earlier, Craig, with Fox Sports Wisconsin. He said, you didn't just get Lorenzo Kane because of how good he is as a player. You also got him for the brain, the experience. He's a World Series winner. He's a smart baseball player at age, I think he's still 32. And you saw it yesterday. those little things, the smartness he has defensively, the smartness he has on the base path, that's what you got with Lorenzo Cain, and that will just trickle down, I think, through the rest of the team. I mean, you saw the reaction in the dugout if you saw the TV broadcast. I can specifically remember Brent Suter in the shot and some of those other guys. They were bewildered and amazed that one of their own teammates figured out this play. Craig Counsell was amazed. Christian Yelich had to adapt on the fly. Such a big acquisition, both of those two guys in the offseason, and it proved to be huge yesterday.
On a team that needs that, because let's face it, this is one of the – fundamentally, they're terrible for the most part. They make some bad mistakes out there. I mean, when's the last time they've actually had a sacrifice fly? I'd like to see where they are in baseball as far as sacrifice flies. Getting that rudder in. I mean, they couldn't get the rudder in from third. They do a lot of things poorly. They overcome them somehow. Not all the time, but they do. They you know, not the most fundamentally gifted team. But those two right there, I think, are an exception to that rule.
So that's the positivity. The negative side of that is there's been some guys that have been underperforming. Yep. We're asking you guys, 799-1250, also at 105.7 FM, The Fan, on Twitter, who's been the most disappointing member of the Brewers. Awesome Sauce is his name on Twitter. He tweets in, preseason Santana was the Brewers' top favorite to win the NL MVP at 50-1. Okay, where's that link, and how preseason was this?
He barely had a starting position.
So this might have been pre-Kane and Yelich. If you've got any documentation of that, I'd love to see it.
No.
Although he was, I mean, he had 30 home runs last year, and he was expected to have a big year this year.
Yeah.
Because, remember, they were going to go into the outfield with Braun, Broxton, and Santana.
And if they were so high on him, why were they trying to trade him all winter?
Right.
Ask yourself that.
Which, apparently, other teams weren't high on him either.
They wanted to get some starting pitching, and they couldn't get it done. So they ended up having to keep him.
Patty tweets in. She says, we forget how young Arcia is. And he had a starting job on a team that was supposed to be rebuilding. He exceeded expectations, and now we're expecting more from him. That's not as disappointing as Santana, who's up there every at-bat he gets, swinging at literally everything.
Well, that's Arcia. I mean, what's she talking about? That's Arcia swinging at everything. Defensively, no problem, but his plate, his approaches at the plate aren't very good.
Well, Kashawn brought this up too. We're not expecting Arcia to be a 270 guy. We're not expecting him to be a 330 guy. Even if he was hitting 240 right now, it would go a lot further than around the 200.
199 going into today's game. And you don't know if he's going to be the regular shortstop. Well, I'm kind of curious to see what the lineup's going to look like today, to see if Aguilar is back in there. If Thames is going to be back out there. Braun didn't play yesterday, where he fits in. So this is the massaging of who plays where. You know, Braun and Aguilar, two guys who've been in heart of the order guys for the Brewers, out of the lineup last night, just getting rests.
I was hoping we would see a lineup here before the end of the show.
I thought so too, but see, the last couple times we've done this, the Brewers have started at 12 o'clock. So the lineup has come earlier, so they don't start till 1 today.
1:10 game today at Miller Park.
But still, we'd see a lineup, and we probably will be coming out right after we're done off the air.
Yep, just like most news does.
Any prediction on who you might see today?
I think we'll see the guys we didn't see yesterday. So I think we'll see, well, who's pitching? A lefty?
Montgomery.
I don't know. I don't think we'll see Arcia. I think we'll see Sogard today.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling we'll see Sogard today. And maybe Kratz behind the plate, day game after night game. Probably Kratz back there.
We'll see. Hopefully we know before the end of the show I get into lineups and box scores.
It's me too. Porn
to me.
I have the my notifications set, so I get the starting lineup anytime as soon as it's released, in the afternoon, usually about 2 or 3 o'clock.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins. Covered a lot of ground today. Not everything. We'll make up for that coming up. Cody Grant will be in here to go through that in just a moment. Harry's Razors, they will send the shave right to your house. Finally started doing this earlier this year, and I'm glad I did. Now, I do keep a beard for most of the time, but the neck hair builds up. Kind of think, who had that big neck beard? Kyle Orton. I do get it. I do get it to that level. So you got to shave. So you either go to the store and buy razors that's basically taking a knife to your skin, or finally get a much smoother, much more comfortable shave from the gel to the razor itself, and it's delivered right to your home, cutting out the middleman, which is lowering the price. Now, if you haven't tried this before, that's a limited time offer for new customers. You can save at harrys.com with the code BART. You get a 5-blade razor with the weighted handle, for that helps. The shave gel comes with, and a travel cover so you can take it with you. The razor, the gel, the cover, they will give that to you for $3 plus free shipping. That's it. It's a limited time only for new customers and for you guys. This is exclusive deal to you guys, listeners of the show. New customers get $5 off a shave set from Harry's with the code BART, B-A-R-T, at harrys.com. Harrys.com, the code is BART. That means you get the starter set that comes with the 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use the code BART at harrys.com. There's no subscription. There's a 100% quality guarantee. They stand behind their products, the guys that created Harry's. So check it out, harrys.com. The code is BART. Join the millions and millions of guys who've already switched, and go to harrys.com today. Use the code BART at checkout to claim your offer. Shall receive. The Brewers tweeting out their lineup for today's game. Not a lot of surprises, really. The guys that were not in there are in there. I went to got it right, though, because Arce is in the lineup. Chuck, it goes Lorenzo Cain back at the leadoff spot in center field. Yelich in right, which means Braun is in, and he's in left. Jesus Aguilar at first. Travis Shaw playing third and batting fifth. So that's a little bit different. Hernan Perez at second today. He'll bat sixth. Eric Kratz is behind the plate. Arcia at shortstop batting eighth. And then Chacin will be doing the pitching.
So no VR.
No VR. No. Arcia is still at the eighth spot. I don't know. Do you move him up? Do you move him to seven and give him a little protection? Or is that too...
Oh, he's been an eight. No.
Because he's got the pitcher behind him, so they're really going to give him nothing to hit. If you put him up at least a spot,
well,
maybe it changes the approach of the guy on the mound.
No Thames with the lefty out there today?
No, and then you've got Braun batting third. He's been in that five spot for a while and doing well there, but they've gone Braun, Aguilar, Shaw for the 3-4-5. But it is a lineup they're looking to win, so it's not like a Sunday or getaway day lineup.
Getaway day lineup.
This is the Cubs'
where,
chance to win a series against
who's
them.
Who's catching?
Kratz, you were Kratz, right about that. Yeah. Kratz. Cain, Yelich, Braun, Aguilar, Shaw, Perez, Kratz, Arcia, and Chacin. Cody Grant, what do we miss today?
What do you got, Rhodes?
We talked about this a little bit, but big news here with the FIFA World Cup 2026. United States, Mexico, and Canada bid wins the vote.
I believe the final is going to be in New York City.
Okay. You think they'll have any at Soldier Field?
I would expect at least a couple. They could also play in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere to play here. But maybe Chicago. Okay. They did last time in 94. I think one of the openers might have been in Chicago at Soldier Field.
The now, women have played at Soldier Field.
Yeah, that too. They definitely did in 94. I'm not sure if it was the opener or not, and I think it was. There's 36 teams in the World Cup. That starts tomorrow. Or is there 32? 30-something. 32. And it's going to go to 48. I don't like that. World Cup starts tomorrow. We brought it up for like 30 seconds earlier, and we got a lot of you guys tweeting us to stop talking about it. You got to get over it.
Well,
you
we're
not doing a World Cup show.
No, we're just talking about
this is a big deal.
Well, that is coming
get
to the United
States.
Get over yourself. It's a big deal. It's coming to the United States. North America.
Get over it. If you hear soccer on the radio and you have to go tweet the radio station right away, look. Congrats on playing third string football in high school. Get over yourself.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Volleyball, soccer.
Come on,
I was a second string basketball.
Where's good guy Bart? Where's that guy?
Oh, we can mention everything. We can mention things that you didn't think you'd expect to be here. You could turn on and Chuck and I could be breaking down IndyCar racing. Yeah. You're still going to sit there and enjoy it. But if you see, if you hear the word soccer, you got to get out your phone.
Somebody will say something about
racing. You got to call the station and tell us to shut up.
No, people say that about wrestling.
Get over yourself.
Yeah, well, I think more people do wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah.
Well, we probably talk about wrestling.
Yeah, CM Punk.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe, hey, by the way, guys, is any rumblings about Punk? And I guess Punk had his last, it might have been his last UFC fight. I heard he got kicked. He got destroyed by the worst guy in UFC on Saturday.
Apparently, the guy was toying with him
in
a
Chicago.
Lot as well.
Yes, in Chicago, his home, Punk's hometown. Does that mean?
Well, there's an indie show. Is that this weekend? All In, Cody Rhodes show. The real
All
Cody
In
Rhodes?
Is not till September 1st. I'm going. To
this oh, okay.
Show.
Yeah,
Punk is cup wrestling.
No,
well,
no,
that's
no, no,
the
no.
rumor. Cody Rhodes,
yeah,
not
the wrestler.
This Cody Rhodes,
Dustin Rhodes' kid,
yeah,
is putting on an independent event in Chicago that sold already. I think more than 10,000 tickets,
okay.
which is really remarkable for an independent wrestling operation, not WWE. The assumption is you may see Punk return to wrestling on the independent circuit in that event.
Okay.
So he's been talking a lot of crap about pro wrestling lately, but we all know that would be the best surprise if he came back to Chicago.
Now we're talking
about
soccer
show.
And wrestling. And I know all your brains exploded.
And don't think that he's not going to come to WWE.
Football.
Because he could bash the WWE all he wants.
Muscles.
I don't think he'll come back to WWE.
Well, Vince McMahon always says never say never.
Yeah, that's true. Celtics Kyrie Irving says he won't sign a contract extension this summer. Financially, it makes no sense. That doesn't mean he won't re-sign with the Celtics in 2019.
Yeah,
just
he'll
won't
sign with,
have the extension.
He'll sign with some other big boy team eventually. Yeah, one of the other powers.
That'll be funny to see how it all works out there in Boston next year with him coming back, Hayward coming back. Rozier, I mean, I thought he was a flash in the pan, but he's not a slouch by any means.
You know, and center,
Horford, Brown.
Horford's coming back.
They got a good team over there.
They'll be favored. They'll be one of the favorites in the East again.
Yeah, Cody?
Another Celtics thing here.
Oh, great.
According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Boston Celtics made an offer to the Spurs for Kawhi Leonard prior to the deadline.
What were they going to give him, do we know?
The offer was not released by Woj, but the Spurs obviously turned it down, and they did not offer a return
before the February deadline.
Yes.
Okay.
And he does say the Lakers and Sixers have emerged as interested parties in Kawhi Leonard.
Did the Bucks have any interest?
Yeah, I mean the Bucks are just never in any of these guys. That's just so deflating.
Every team should have interest.
It's not
Kawhi.
The Bucks. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have interest in Kawhi, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's a top 10 player.
Doing anything
especially
about
these
it?
Owners. You know, they're a flashy group. There, they want to. You know, they want to go out there and. I would think they'd want to be in on something like that. I'm sure they'd love to, but you know, it takes two to tango on that.
Cody?
When's the last time we brought up Reggie Bush on this show?
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. Reggie Bush?
So, Reggie Bush suffered a season-ending knee injury back in 2015. He slipped on a concrete ring surrounded the field at...
Remember that at St. Louis?
Yesterday, the St. Louis jury ordered the Rams to pay Bush $4.95 million compensatory damages and $7.5 million in punitive damages, so $12.5 million, according to St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Now, a lawyer for the Rams said they do plan to file a motion for a new trial.
I've always thought that when these players are running out of bounds, you always see that slippery ring right by the, let's say, right by the stands. The players are always slipping on that stuff. How do they allow for that?
Well, that cost the Rams $12.5 million.
But it was only a matter of time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Player was going to kill himself like that?
Part of the suit, I believe the week prior, someone else sort of fell on that too. The Rams didn't do anything about it. Bush, I mean, that really ruined his career, besides him just not being very good. Nah, he could have had a good career. That
Great
hurts.
College player, though.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That hurts. So, $12.5 million. Hey, announcement. I'm putting out another podcast today.
Yeah.
I did not stick to sports. I talked to a guy named Kurt Smith, who used to do conservative radio in this town.
Kurt, the author?
Yes.
Okay.
He wrote a book on politics and baseball.
Yeah.
And the combination of the two.
Yeah, people know Kurt Smith.
He gets very political. I don't.
Okay,
he
does. People know Kurt Smith.
Just tears Roger Goodell's dad apart.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He used to write speeches for George H.W. Bush.
Did a midday show in town.
Yeah, so that'll be out at noon today.
Yeah.
My talk with Kurt Smith. #StickToSports. Frames, Cody, we're back tomorrow at 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.